Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
How are you now? It's James Whelan, Managing Director of the Barclay Pearce Asset Management Team. It is the Theory of Thing Investment Podcast. Episode 8 billion. It is the 24th of November 2023, and a reminder that all information contained herein, if it is advice, it is general. If it is anything else, then it is not advice at all. I am joined by Heath Moss of HLM Investments. Heath, how are you now?
Not too bad, mate. Not too bad, getting through a bit of a man flu sort of thing, but yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there. I hope you're well as well.
Mate, I am. Well, actually, I just realized something. Okay, Google, studio on. Wait for it. Didn't work. Okay, Google, studio. There it is. Hey. There we go. Yeah, you can stop now, buddy. That's all right. Okay. Yeah, hey, there you go. We are, you are live from the Studio One at the Barclay Pearce HQ. I get full use of the facilities. It's fantastic to be here, and I love every second of it. I will be presenting on Tuesday, the 28th of November, at the Ensemble All Advisor PD Day. If you're an advisor or anything in financial services, then please come and check it out. It's going to be great. Also, if you're an advisor who's looking for a job, send me a note, because I'm on the hunt for hungry types that want to get in there and want to be able to do things. Compliance minded. We have a very big, strong compliance culture here at the Barclay Pearce. So please let me know. Heath, over to you.
Beautiful. Beautiful. You want to get straight into it? You want to get into the wrap?
Mate, it's Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving. I've got Turkey Day is all of my priority right now. There's football on the TV. We are doing, we're actually currently pushing people away from getting this deal, corporate deal going that we're going. So, I mean, that's going pretty well. This goes to America, so I can't talk about it. But yeah, so we're just doing that. It's a buzzing hub of activity, and I want to get back to work, which is fantastic. So, mate, and then I've got to try and get this turkey. I've got a turkey situation, right? It's still rock hard. So I've got to cook turkey on Sunday. Everyone, we always do this big thing. We wear turkeys on our heads, and we got the football jumpers. We got the college ball on. It's fantastic. I put it in the fridge. You've got to defrost your turkey in the fridge.
Yep.
And I put it in on Tuesday night, and I checked this morning. It's still rock, man.
Mate, you're gonna have to do that deep fry turkey like they do in the States. That, you know, extremely dangerous.
Even with all of the ads, that it's just like, whatever you do, do not do this. Yeah, yeah, I should do that. Kill my friends and family. Yeah. It's going to be wonderful.
Dunk it in a barrel that's, you know, piping hot, and you do the deep fry thing and hope that, you know, you don't get scalded. So, it's not a bad problem to have, isn't it? No, frozen turkey.
I bought, this is amazing. Stepping into new, this is actually going to relate to something I was talking about here, just with consumer spending where it is on debt. So Gareth Aird put something under the chat just with the amount of loans. So this is personal loans being taken out to buy. Oh, no, it was actually Colga. Colga put it on Twitter. The amount of personal loans or small loans that are being taken out to buy consumer goods. And I was just like, well, technically that was sort of almost me, because I thought that my fridge, my mini fridge, I've got a bar fridge that sits outside now. My bar fridge, I thought it had died after we've moved back into the house. 6 months it was sitting outside. I was thinking, okay, it died. Because then one day it just stopped working. And like an idiot, I didn't actually check all of the reasoning, because I'm just very busy, and I bought another mini fridge. I bought a little one. It's a tiny little one. It's like that. It's like 70 centimeters high. Plug that in next to it, and hang on a minute, this doesn't turn on either, and realize that the circuit had tripped. And I now have two working mini fridges sitting on the balcony outside in my little beer garden area, which I've built in outside my house. And they said that I wouldn't amount to anything. And now I'm just like the absolute pinnacle of boganness out here with my two little bar fridges. One's just full of cores. One's just got a frozen turkey sitting in it.
Your mini fridge throne sitting up on your mini fridge throne.
I'm so wealthy. I'm so rich. I've got two mini fridges. It's incredible. Anyway, so that's my biggest headache at the moment, doing that and, you know, running a thing, doing everything that I'm doing.
Beautiful.
What do you got?
Beautiful. Not much. You want to push the buttons?
I know, I'll do the buttons. I was going to do, you didn't even have to ask that time. Yeah, okay.
Beautiful.
Ooh, look at that.
All right.
That's bullish.
SPX. Looking good. Very quiet week this week, of course, with Thanksgiving in the US. US market shut last night and only half a day tonight. I think the US is up about 1%. NASDAQ, very similar. Yields continue to drift down. Not much macro out there at all. I'm just looking at my notes. What macro? Durable goods orders came out and were very, very soft, down 5.5% when they were expected to be up 4.6%. Without defense, they were down 6.7%. Obviously, defense is a huge contributor to durable goods because, you know, a lot of defensive products being made, you know, you have these jets and warships, etc. So they all contribute to that, etc. So, but outside of that, it's been a very, very quiet week for all things macro and US markets. I'll just bring the yields up because why not? 10-year yields. There we go. You can see it just slowly drifting down there now, probably coming back to that old high around the 435 there, around about there, the last peak. The theme continues. US data continues to soften. Sentiment continues to soften in terms of yields. What is his face? Powell, et cetera. They're all, you know, talking a hawkish talk, but they have to do that. They have to maintain that until the very last second, and then they'll pivot. Because otherwise, if they start getting too dovish, then yields come down further, and it, you know, undoes all the good work that they've done. That's about it for the US. So the XJO, again, similar theme. Nice little pop there out of the range. Looking to come up towards that 200-day moving average. We are up. What are we up this week? Or are we down? I can't remember. We're down 0.3% this week. For the XJO, again, not much happening here. We had the Judo Bank Composite come out, the PMIs for manufacturing and services, both very, very soft. The RBA minutes and Bullock spoke this week, again, very hawkish, reaffirming their stance that if, you know, if they need to, they'll raise rates again.
Can we talk about Bullock?
Yeah, go for it.
Can we talk about this nonsense? Seriously, like about the dentists and hairdressers that she mentioned in there?
I didn't hear that overall, okay. But what did she say?
Part of her speech was people keep going to the dentists and hairdressers and those things are expensive and they're getting more expensive and they have been, and that's sort of what's pushing up inflation. And she didn't directly say it, and she didn't. And it's sort of, some of people have misconstrued what she said as being stop going to the dentist because it's you're the reason why inflation is going up, and it's sort of not really what she said. However, we had Gareth. It's always handy having an economist at the CBA sort of doing stuff. He's put some very simple sort of maths up here with it, and just showing exactly where dental services are way down the list of things for price increases. Like way down the list. It's not only was she wrong, not only was she wrong to say it, but she was actually wrong in the facts of doing it. I've got some real questions. There are question marks over her communication skills at the moment and her ability to communicate at a time when she needs to be. And I'm not saying at a time now. I mean, the worst thing about his entire tenure was going to be those communication skills, like a couple of massive hangers in which he didn't quite specify what he should have. I think that maybe there's no change there and things need to be better. It just needs to be better. That's what I'll say, because that was a real clanger.
And if we roll back to when they raised rates on Melbourne Cup Day, that was my main gripe, is that it was a dovish hike. So yields, you know, yields in the market still came down. It didn't really do anything.
The words didn't match the pictures. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And they, if they were going to hike, they needed to hike hard with a really hawkish tone if they wanted to have that impact. But they didn't. And I think there's a couple of missteps there already for Bullock. And I'm of the opinion that the data they're relying on is out of date. It lags too much. They need to be looking more at what the banks are saying in terms of the transactions. Look at what companies are saying on the ASX. We've seen Adairs come out this morning, Nick Scali, JB Hi-Fi. They're all saying being very low foot traffic coming through, down about 10 to 15%. Sales are down, like-for-like sales are down. Prices are coming down. Costs are coming down.
Would you like to talk about Scali? Talk about Scali? Hang on, I've got Scali right here. I'm just going to pull up. I'm going to do my little mathematics here. And there you go. I think you can see that about as well. Nick Scali advises that Managing Director and CEO Anthony Scali has sold 4.6 million shares in the company by way of a fully underwritten block trade. George Canaan's all over this one. An appendix 3Y for the 3Y for the share sale. Separately, the partial disposal of Anthony Scali's shareholding in the company is to diversify the family's assets and will increase the free float of the company. Oh, how generous. With the shares to be sold to institutional investors. Yes, Canaan. Following the sale, Anthony Scali, by his family investment company, Scali Consolidated, will retain 6.4 million, more or less, round up, shares in the company, and 7.95. Yep. It's almost half of their holding.
Yeah. He's still the largest holder. And this is Nick Scali, who started the business, his son, who received them and his siblings and the whole family received, I think it was 50% of the company back in the early 2000s. So they have been selling down continuously over the last couple of decades.
I mean, that's
not Nick Scali himself. No.
No, it's Anthony Scali.
Yeah, Anthony Scali, which is Nick Scali's son.
The CEO, though. Okay. Yeah. And it's hardly like the stock is trading on crazy multiples where I'm gonna get a bit out now. It's trading at 11 times with a div yield that's not too bad at all.
I'm a big fan of Nick Scali and the way it's run the quality of their business. And to me, whilst it spooks the market, it sends shutters, you know, confidence in the stock. You know, will they sell more? Is there something wrong when they're not telling us about, et cetera, et cetera? It's quite common for large holders to sell down their things. And eventually the Scali family will probably walk away from this business. It doesn't, to me, there is no succession plan in there to keep the Scali family within there once Anthony is done with it. And he is getting on in age as well. So... I'm not too concerned. Yeah,
you're a Scali apologist, and we know who you are. Your flag is planted very firmly.
They did buy a mansion in the city harbour for $16 million last month. So maybe they're using that to pay.
Down at Rose, where do we go for? There's a really nice lunch spot that's up past me. The Rose, I always get the mix. Roselle is my area. Roseville is Balmain. There's a nice little, like a breakfast and lunch spot that's sort of down there by the water, and the Scali, one of the Scali boats is parked down there, and the thing is three stories high. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. You just love to look at these big things, and they've done well. It's a beautiful business. Anyway, sorry, I'm going to go back to your thing.
That's the XJO. What else we need to talk about this morning? I mean,
Talk about China, because a bit has been going on in that space.
Okay, there's the copper chart.
Yep.
So there's the copper chart. You can see, I'll zoom out. You can see the big decline there over the last 12 months, $4.30 a pound down to $3.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
77 pound. If I go back further,
see where it's touched above there,
some five. I think that's about £5 there. There's been a significant drop, and we all know the reason why. I mean, you know, Chinese economy, well, they shut down first and then they've come back out, they haven't come out as strong. Real estate, et cetera, is suffering. And Copper's a big proponent of real estate and construction and what they
However, the stimulus that they've been ploughing in this week, just with regulatory lifting and the support for their property market, is sort of what's been giving the short-term boost to Copper. And you can see, so you see that there's a red candle. I'm just going to describe this to people. So if you zoom in there and you pick a spot, you see the very high for the recent high there. Mm-hmm. So point to the recent high. Yeah, that's when my note about Copper came out a couple of days ago.
You can pick it, can't you?
As sure as God wears sandals, my friend, it's Jimmy's notes will come out. Look, it's I'm extraordinarily bullish Copper on the long term, as you well know.
Same here.
Short term, I think that there's just going to be times when it's like, you know what, it's on here and off we go. China's support for their property sector is one of those things that will do it. More property buying, more copper needed. Blah, blah, blah. You already know the story about that, the way that goes. The fact that copper even held up as well as it has done whilst oil has been coming off as much as it has been. So oil's coming off because, global growth. And there's more supply and everything is there, but copper has not been responding the same way. That being said, copper does not respond the same way that it used to with the whole Dr. Copper BS, which I still will not allow anyone to say. Don't say Dr. Copper in front of me unless you're saying it ironically, because copper doesn't move based on that sort of stuff anymore. However, if global growth was deteriorating as much as oil would suggest that it was, then copper would probably be responding to that in kind, regardless
of what it's really. It's really just a Chinese proxy. I mean, they consume 60% of copper out there, so really, it is, you know, a bellwether of the Chinese economy rather than, you know, what it used to be, like you said, Dr. Copper, you know, a couple of decades ago, where it was a bellwether. Growth, economic growth, global growth,
I'm going to pull these things up here, which came out of the Glencore report, so I'm just going to switch over to me. For anyone, to add some value to people who want to watch on the YouTubes here, this is from the Glencore 2024 report on the mining sector. It was actually someone else that did this one from, I had it written down here. Wood Mackenzie, they did a report on it. Copper supply will shrink without investment in new production. We already know this. Long-term reasons for going copper, it's 36% 36% down by 2024, underneath the amount of operating copper mines and projects under construction that needs to be online. How much copper is needed for the transition to sustainable economy? 60 million tons. So currently we are producing, 25 million tons of refined copper supply. 2022, 6.7 million tons of end-use scrap. Scrap is going to be more and more important as we go on. We're not even halfway to where we will need to be by 2040's amazing renewable targets that everyone has. There is a shortage. That's the rest of my little thing. And then a pledge from China's central bank to support the property sector, a major consumer of the metal, was in there. And I put some other stuff that was there too. But that's my copper spiel. That was all that I really had to talk about that one. Oh, yeah, and then we can get on to school. Okay. What do you got? Next.
Quickly cover NVIDIA.
Yep.
NVIDIA's results.
NVIDIA.
Beautiful. Yeah, there's the chart. We see tapping over 500 again, coming off a little bit on the back of their results. Look, overall, they were super strong results for their fourth quarter. Sorry, I think their fiscal fourth quarter, 402 EPS versus $3.37 expected, 18.12 billion in revenue versus 16.18 billion. So that's growth of 206%. Data center revenue was 14.51 billion, so up 279% on the last quarter, the corresponding quarter. Sorry. Q4 revenue forecasts were of 20 billion, but it was some comments around China, and we have spoken about this extensively for the last few months because of the new restrictions that were brought in by Biden and co. So they're saying that because of these new export restrictions, sales to China would decline significantly in Q4 due to these export bans. China makes up 20 to 25% of their data center revenue, and they're unsure of the magnitude of the impact at this stage. So, but they did go and say afterwards they expect the decline to be more than offset by strong growth in other regions. So this is where we're at with NVIDIA. This is the sort of the true test of AI chip demand and strength. you know, was it all China? We'll soon find out what demand is like ex-China now. They're saying it's going to be fine. So were they prioritizing China sales for the last 12 months on these chips to rush all those chips out to get them in before the bans came into place or a lot stronger, and so these buyers could stockpile these graphics cards? And so now they can distribute to the rest of the world more accordingly. So that's what we'll look for over the next few quarters. They do have a new chip coming out in the second quarter next year, which will be a lot more powerful than the current most powerful AI chip, the H100.
The GH200
is coming.
GH200, that's a good one.
Processor. Yep, 141 gigabyte memory versus 80 gigabyte currently on the H.
That is a lot of gigabytes, mate. That is a lot of gigabytes.
What it does, so instead of having to stack a lot of these H100s, you'll be using less of these GH200s, which, you know, lowers your power consumption. Which is a good thing. Yeah. So obviously, can this drive more revenue growth, etc.? I mean, NVIDIA. You know, the question is always going to be, can they stay at the forefront of innovation, being number one? They currently maintain about 80% of the GPU market. Eventually, I think someone's going to catch up and eat into that. It's just a matter of when.
I'm getting the mail that just to maybe lighten, if not get out. I actually had someone who's in tech send me a note and just goes short in video. I've just gone, man, I'm dumb, but I'm not stupid.
We can see there. See there on the chart. Still,
yeah.
You see there on the chart, the that 400 seems to have been support three or four times there. So it looks like we'll come back down to that 400 if it can't hold there. Around 320.
You know what?
Gap there.
Let's put a view on it. I'll short it down to 400, okay? We'll see how we go.
Short down. Yeah, that's fine. I'd be happy with that trade.
I'm a big buyer. You're down there.
I'm big buyer at 320. Eventually, that gap has to be filled, I think.
There you go, Stan. And I think we got to keep rolling. What are your copper plays? Sorry, we had talk about copper before.
In Australia, obviously you got the Wire ETF. I think that's probably your best bet.
I
think it's GlobalX.
It's GlobalX because you don't like supporting competitors in the ETF space, see? And they're also
It covers everything need in terms of copper. BHP, Rio are in there, but also Glencore and all the big guys are also in there. On the Australian Exchange, in terms of direct shares, you've got BHP and Rio. No more Oz Minerals because obviously BHP took them over. So looking at the real micro small cap space then. You could go Owen Hecate's Group 29 Metals. 29M is the code for that. They've come off significantly. I've mentioned them before, but I really like Havilah, very, very small cap, high risk sort of gear. Have 1 million tons of copper in ground, proven probable sort of resource here in South Australia. BHP actually have the rights to buy that project outright. And if they were to take that on, it would be worth about
29M. Did you say it was
29M? Is the Owen Hegarty Group 29 Metals?
Yeah,
Havilah is HAV, is the other group. They're the ones BHP has the rights on. And it's worth about 70 cents a share if they do go ahead with it. And their current price is around 25 cents a share.
Okay, so fantastic,
but very high risk stuff. As well,
it's a high risk podcast. Speaking of high risk stuff. Irish stuff, try and take on the Detroit Lions when they are, and I don't want to give those away. Hang on a second. The Detroit, look at these stats. And I had it here. This is Jay Cuda. I have some bad news for the Lions. This is posted last night. So it's currently Friday. So Thanksgiving in America. The Lions game is always the highlight of this one. Lions versus Packers was one of the first games today. Since the American League, the AFL and NFL merger, they are 0-12 on Thanksgiving. When the moon is in a waxing gibbous phase. Tomorrow, stats that matter. Tomorrow is a waxing gibbous. Therefore, the Lions were set to lose. They lost 22-29, I believe, to Packers. The Packers of Green Bay. Stats that matter when they matter. I could have used that. I could have used that tweet 2 days ago. I'd tell you that for free.
Exactly.
Do you want me to go first with my tips?
Yeah, go for it.
mate, Dank Trader. I'm just going to get a little video while I do this. Dank Trader 4,000, 4,000, 3,000. Which thousand is he?
4,000.
Has been providing nothing but the purest gold tips. And he really has just been generating some real revenue for punters out there. Not that this is a gambling podcast, unless you talk about the small cap copper stocks. So what's he got for us today? I pull it up as I talk. Okay. Dank Trader 4,000's NFL locks. The team listed first at the line, listed in order of likelihood. The Browns of Cleveland at Denver with 1.5 start. He loves that.
Beautiful.
He thinks that the Giants against the Patriots of New England with a 3.5 start. I think they'll need more, but go ahead. And the Buffaloes versus the Philadelphias with a start of 3.5 points on that as well. So he's taken the underdogs in each of those games. He thinks it's going to be a rough old couple of days. This Thanksgiving time can do it. But either way, like what did he get? He got three out of four or something last week. Just absolute.
Yeah,
gold.
He did. Yeah,
he's phenomenal. He's providing some great work. Thank you for that. We're going to get him more involved in the show too as well with all the work that he's done. So thanks a lot for that, Dank. I look forward to working with you.
Thank you,
Heath. Show us the goodies. What do you got?
I have the opposite of one of his bets again.
No, we're doing this again. I've got two portfolio managers against each other. Go on.
I've got the Eagles at -3.5 versus the Bills on Monday. I think they'll win by more than that. Okay. Take it right up to the Bills. The Eagles are on fire. Fantastic. Probably the best team in the comp at the moment with Mahomes and the Chiefs going down was last week, I think. I think they're the best in the comp.
If Mahomes
my Niners aren't far behind.
In his defense, Mahomes is putting it where it needs to be. It's the problem is that he has an entire team who seem to just like have hands like feet. It doesn't
have the wide receivers.
Great. I'm glad that there is a wide receiver out there who has still managed to succeed and go as far as he had in the NFL, even though he was born without any hands. It's incredible. That's the joke. All right, mate, we're about ready to wrap it up now. We're already over time. Thank you very much for joining us. Don't forget, Tuesday, I'm doing the ensemble thing. Don't forget, if you know any advisors that want to come and work here at Barclay Pearson, please let me know. Always happy to do it. Thank you very much, Heath Moss, for everything that you've done.
Thank you.
And have a happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Turkey Day.
Happy Turkey Day. TD23 is a go. I repeat, it is a go. Thanks very much, everyone. Have a good weekend.
See you later, guys.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.